Good morning. Thank you so much for coming back to the show. I'm Twanda Black. You know, I know in the African American community, most of us, a lot of us, a large percentage of us have high cholesterol. We don't really know what that means, what it does, how it affects our body. And joining me this morning, Dr. Robert Eckel. He's director of Lipid Clinic at the University of Colorado Hospital. And he's here to do a little myth busting and to give us some insight. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Tawanda. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Let me use my family for an example. We have probably skinny, tall, fat, short, all kinds, in shape, not in shape, and almost every one of us have high cholesterol. What is that about?
Well, the next step is to understand why the cholesterol is elevated. It's important for everyone to know that cholesterol is carried in different particles in the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So the LDL is the bad guy. So LDL cholesterol, when it's elevated, increases the risk for heart disease and stroke.
Mm-hmm.
But the HDL is the good cholesterol. So HDLs, when they're on the high side, are somewhat protective against getting a heart attack or stroke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this distribution of cholesterol in the bloodstream as to whether it's an LDL or it's an HDL. Now, the total cholesterol gives us a hint that your cholesterol may be elevated for bad reasons.
Mm.
But until you break it down, you really don't understand completely where the cholesterol is being distributed. So
I think
the next important message for the public as a whole is not only know your cholesterol, but know what kind of cholesterol is there. Is it LDL, HDL, or are your triglycerides elevated? So there could be problems in all of those areas. You know, in general, it's interesting because the African-American population actually has lower triglycerides than whites or Hispanics. So you have a benefit there in terms of having lower triglycerides. And, and the explanation for that's not entirely clear.
It's never clear. It's never clear why things are happening. But what exactly is cholesterol and what makes it high cholesterol?
Well, cholesterol is a waxy substance that can get into the artery and ultimately cause disease in the artery. And when that disease gets advanced, the artery becomes less stable and can break and form a clot.
Mm-hmm.
When a clot is formed, a heart attack can follow or a stroke can follow. So we're concerned about the blood cholesterol, but it's important for people to realize that cholesterol is on every membrane of every cell. So we make cholesterol, but when we make too much of it or we have influences from our lifestyle that make the cholesterol go to an elevated level, particularly the LDL, then we're more concerned about cardiovascular disease, meaning heart attack or stroke.
But you're saying that cholesterol is in the body anyway. It's always there, right?
Right. We need it to make every cell of the body.
But sometimes, and I know my doctor said, yours is a little elevated, but we're really not worried about it. It's the good kind. I was like, okay.
There you go.
Deal with that. Yeah. So what do we need to do? What puts you at risk? And then, you know, sometimes we think certain things that aren't necessarily true.
Well, I think so. And you mentioned the weight of your family and the height of your family. I mean, weight and height don't really matter in terms of what your cholesterol level is.
Right.
So we know a little bit about people who are too heavy. Sometimes their good cholesterol is lower. But the LDL cholesterol or bad cholesterol doesn't go up very much with extra weight.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, everyone needs to have their cholesterol checks. And one of the myths is the fact children shouldn't be checked. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Because now a number of organizations have recommended that children between the ages of 9 and 11 should have their cholesterol checked. And then for adults, another myth is, gee, until I get to be 40 as a guy or 50 as a woman, I don't need to know my cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong again. At age 20 and every 4 to 6 years subsequent to that age, cholesterol should be checked to determine how it relates to risk for cardiovascular disease. Now, I think we're in a situation that we don't only look at cholesterol in terms of a risk factor for heart disease, but Tawanda, we also look at blood pressure, which in the African American population is higher for sure on the average.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at smoking, and we look at inactivity, and we look at bad diet. So there's a number of other things that we relate to in terms of heart disease risk and stroke rather than simply cholesterol. But cholesterol is the focus of our attention here this morning.
Absolutely. I'm trying to remember the test I had not too many months ago, and it looked at my veins and my arteries. What's that test?
Well, that could have been a coronary calcium score.
It was, exactly.
And how was that?
It was great.
Wonderful.
It was great.
So The calcium score is very helpful information in terms of knowing how much artery disease you have. Mm-hmm. Now, a zero score is a very good number to have because it suggests that your chances of having a major heart attack or stroke in the next year is near zero.
Yeah, mine was zero.
Yeah, well, that's good. So for the next 1 year for sure and 5 years, you're really relatively protected. But as you get older and those calcium scores start to increase, the degree of elevation of the calcium score relates to your risk. So everybody doesn't need this test, but people who need the test, it can be very informative about how aggressive to be in terms of treatment of high cholesterol.
Right. You know, in general, besides medication, and if we have the level should be under what, Doc? What's the number?
Well, it's going to be depending on the risk. And in general, I think we're looking now at the LDL, Tawanda. We're not looking at the total cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So in general, a heart-healthy LDL under 100 really makes people feel fairly comfortable. However, people that have already had a heart attack or stroke, or in fact have high risk for a heart attack and stroke, 100 is not low enough.
Wow.
And now we're targeting levels under 70 in most, if not all, patients, and some under 55 or even under 40. So with the medications we have today, we can actually target much lower levels and not promise, but, you know, ultimately assure that their risk would be lower having a much lower LDL. So again, keep in mind it's age dependent and it's overall related to how much risk is present.
So what should we be doing at home and lifestyle changes? What should we be doing?
Well, the important thing here is both ends of lifestyle, both what we eat and what we do. So for what we eat, we want to really enforce dietary patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And dietary patterns are such that diets that are enriched in fruits and vegetables and whole grains and a lot of fish and poultry, this is a heart-healthy diet. And also diets that are restricted in saturated fat. Now, Tawanda, I don't think of good foods and bad foods. The important thing is to look at the overall diet. And when you have ice cream and birthday cake at a birthday party, or you go to fast food once or twice a month, or you have a medium rare steak once or twice a month, that's no big deal. But if the overall diet is heart healthy, meaning lots of fish, vegetables, fruits, and whole grains, you're in good stead. And that's what we want our patients to hear. Now, in physical activity, we're talking about 30 to 40 minutes four times a week, and that should be moderately vigorous activity. There are many people that have limitations in physical activity, and their exercise prescription needs to be modified because that amount of physical activity may not be possible. So we need to look at both a balance between being more active and also eating right to reduce our risk.
Okay, so the American Heart Association has a new online tool called My Cholesterol Guide. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's an important piece of information for the public as a whole and, by the way, for healthcare professionals. So the link to that is www.heart.org/cholesterol, or more simply, heart.org/cholesterol. And that'll take you to the site. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the site, you'll see a link towards My Cholesterol Guide. And that guide is a very user-friendly, interactive tool that will provide you all the information you need to have about cholesterol. And by the way, this is not only for the public, but also healthcare professionals can benefit from this site also, Tawanda.
Mm-hmm, definitely. You know, and you talked about kids. I know my son was getting ready to play basketball on his team instead of the little, you know, physical that they do at the school, because what we've been seeing is this influx of kids dying on the basketball court, on the football, because the parents didn't know about undiagnosed issues. So I took my son to a real doctor, you know.
A real doctor.
A real doctor. Not that there aren't real doctors, but I took him for a complete physical, and sure enough, his cholesterol was high.
Really?
Absolutely.
Did the doctor do anything about it?
He didn't. We talked about diet, and he was definitely great in great physical shape. So and now he's in the Army, so he's still in great physical shape, but it was still the good cholesterol. The overall number was elevated, but it was the good cholesterol.
Well, that's nothing to worry about.
So we want you to go on to the American Heart Association's website. You said heart.org, and look for My Cholesterol Guide, correct?
Right. Need to scroll down to the bottom of the screen, and you'll see a link to that.
Awesome. We need to take a look at that. Dr. Robert Eckel, thank you so much for joining us and sharing these great tips.
You're welcome, Tawana. Thanks very much for having me.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. And did you know that the average person comes into contact with 300 surfaces every 30 minutes, potentially contacting 840,000 germs? I'm a germaphobe, sort of. And Dr. Pamela Marquess joins us. She is a pharmacist and owner of the East Marietta Drugs chain in the Atlanta area. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Holiday time coming, and parties, and probably the time when folks get the most, pick up the most bugs of anything. Tell us how we're supposed to be protecting ourselves. Because, I mean, we talk about hand washing, and then they said, oh, you know, the sanitizers were out, and then, oh, don't use the hand sanitizers. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah, there have been a lot of misperceptions about hand washing and what to use and how long to wash your hands. And so hopefully today we're going to clear up some of those misperceptions. But the most important thing to remember is that washing your hands is the most important thing you can do to kill germs. The CDC says that over and over and over. So that's the number one thing we want people to remember. And the second thing is there is a misconception about how long it takes you to wash your hands. People have heard, you know, sing the birthday song while you're washing your hands, but that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. Really, it only takes 20 seconds, according to the CDC, and there's a five-step process that they want you to use for good hand washing techniques. The first step is to wet your hands with warm water. The second step is to apply soap, preferably an antibacterial soap. The third step is to scrub your hands and lather for 20 seconds. Number four, rinse your hands. And number five, dry your hands thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to think about being in and out of places. Of course, we don't have anything to scrub our hands, but we can wash them vigorously, right?
Yes, and for my family, I have a secret weapon that we use year-round to kill germs on contact, because it's a long-acting product that can work for up to 24 hours, and we're all busy, you know, with work. I'm a mom of two and a pharmacist, so my kids are involved in activities after school, during school, and so I do everything I can to keep them protected. And even though I'm not a germaphobe like you, I'm very proactive at making sure I'm killing germs at every turn that I can. It's really, really important.
So what's the product? You were saying there was something you used.
Well, the product that we use at our house and that I recommend to my patients is called Hibiclens, and it's an FDA-approved product that's really unique because it's compared to soap, but it kills germs on contact because it has an ingredient called chlorhexidine gluconate, which is a big, long pharmacy word that we can use the abbreviation CHG, and this active ingredient bonds with your skin and continues to kill bacteria even after washing. So we call it the invisible glove at our house, that you wash every day with Hibiclens before you leave, and then when you're at school or at your sports activities, you continue to wash your hands with soap and water, as we describe the five-step process, to continue to ward off bacteria and dirt and germs that you're just going to come in contact to. Like you said, you know, when you look at your 16 waking hours, you're coming into contact with almost 10,000 surfaces and about 27 million germs in a day. So you really have to be proactive at continuing to ward off those germs that you're in contact with.
You know, and I tell parents, especially parents of young kids in high school, wherever they are in school, that when those kids come in the house, don't do anything. Don't head anywhere. Head straight to the bathroom and wash your hands. This is how I raise my kids. Take your shoes off and go wash your hands, because, you know, kids, boy, they're carriers. They'll bring everything into you, and they won't even be sick, and the parents are sick.
Exactly. Well, you're doing a great job, and we say that at our house, too. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, because you are around a community of people, all who have germs, and, you know, it's just a breeding ground. And that's true not only in schools, but
everywhere,
you know, in elderly senior centers and anywhere. You know, this time of year, as we said, it's such a breeding ground because we're going to more parties for the holidays. We're on the edge of cold and flu season. and we're coming into the end of the year. You know, people are having more surgeries in and out of hospitals pretty rapidly, and so we really have to focus on managing the germs and being very precautious about that and doing everything we can to manage that situation where we're being exposed.
And, you know, I wanted to touch on that because it is elective surgery time on November, December, and a lot of people are coming back home. My mom had knee surgery a couple of years ago, and so I spent December taking care of her, and that was one of my biggest things was hand washing, making sure everything was sanitized because I didn't want her to get an infection.
Well, and you're right about that. It is a main concern when people come home from the hospital. They're worried about that post-operative mm-hmm. infection. And we do know that 40% of all complications occur at home because mm-hmm. sometimes you're not educated on how to manage a wound at home. You're sent home from the hospital earlier and earlier because of health insurance, and you're there trying to ward off these germs and bacteria after surgery. And it's really, really important. I had a good friend who just had ACL surgery, mm-hmm. and I laughed and said, I'm not bringing you dinner. I'm not bringing you cookies. I'm bringing you a bottle of Hibiclib. This is really important. And he said, you know, no, they didn't tell me how to manage this at home, you know. And so I said, this is what you got to do. And everybody coming to visit needs to wash their hands because we have to manage the bacteria because you're going to be bedridden for a few days,
exactly.
and then you're going to be mobile, but it's going to be slow.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing you can do is protect yourself from germs after surgery.
So let's talk about the cold and flu season, how cold and flu is transmitted, because we are touching and breathing sometimes in small places. I know in our newsroom every year, it gets crazy. One person gets sick and it just spreads because they're all sitting, you know, in the news pit. And the next thing you know, there's nobody working because everybody's at home. But,
well, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And the number one thing that your team can do and people at home can do is wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
The CDC says this is the most important thing people can do to kill germs and to be knowledgeable about what to wash your hands with. And so that's when I talk about HibiCleanse being that invisible glove. If you can see yourself washing at home one time a day with HibiCleanse and then you go to work and you do have to be proactive about your work site. You
mm-hmm.
guys are there all together, but, you know, you may have to wipe down your phone
yes.
and wipe down your mouth and wash your hands after, you know, every meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
And with somebody sneezing, they need to cover their mouth. They need to continue to wash their hands. That's such a key factor this time of year for cold and flu season because those germs are airborne. So
yes.
when they're sneezing or coughing, you need to make sure they're covering their mouth. And you need to do everything you can to prevent exposure to those germs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us where we can get more information on how to be efficient in our hand washing and taking care during this season of germs.
Yes. And there's information on HibiCleanse.com, and that's spelled HibiCleanse.com. And this product can be found in your retailer section, the first aid section, not the antibacterial
okay.
soap section. Yeah, that's what's unique. It's in the first aid section of your pharmacy or your local retailer, or you can ask the pharmacist where to find it. It's their number one favorite product.
Got it. That is phenomenal. HibiCleanse.com.
Yeah.
Dr. Pamela S. Marquess, who is owner of the East Marietta Drugs Chain in the Atlanta area. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.